start thinking it's a zone read, and they run a play-action pass.
That pressure's picked up. Lux scans, goes end zone, and Johnson has a touchdown. Panthers win in overtime.
Gano redeems himself after missing the extra point. He smashes a 52-yard field goal to send Carolina to 7-0.
It's just great to see a team win. It wasn't pretty. We know that. We know we have to be better. But at the end of the day, we're one of the lucky few to be able to say we're 7-0. We're not content by no means. We're just trying to find a way to get to 80.
Hey, Rockets, you can't go 79-3 until you go 1-3. The Panthers win a slop fest, and Texans playoff hilarity ensues. All that and more on a Tuesday on The Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. Usually you guys are in a bad mood. Get over it. Let's have some fun today. All kinds of good stuff to talk about. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. I'm looking at this this crazy auction that's going on where they got all this stuff that was owned by or signed by. Like, it starts with the girls from Wilson Phillips. It's got all their guitars and stuff, which I have no interest in.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't know how much merchant, like how much memorabilia stuff I'd be really into, but there's some pretty cool stuff. There's a bunch of stuff signed by Michael Jackson. There's a bunch of Michael Jackson's worn clothes, which apparently is a really hot item. These things, like he's got.
Oh, if you could get that members only jacket from the Thriller video, I bet you that's worth a fortune.
He's got one of those jackets that he wore on that Dangerous tour, is currently going for $5,000.
It seems a little light, actually. That to me, that's a kind of thing.
Well, the auction just opened today.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's going to cost more than that.
There's a bunch of Elvis stuff.
Thank you very much.
Which is...
That stuff will go for
a bit. It's going for crazy amounts. He had, a bulb, a single light bulb from a Christmas display at Graceland. $200.
Wow.
Current bid. A single light bulb, a blue light bulb.
I wonder how much some of the drugs that he took before he died would go for.
The Gold Leaf Grand Piano.
Yeah.
Current bid, $250,000. So there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of, there's Johnny Cash has handwritten letters, handwritten notes from Bible studies, which I think is really cool. He's got the handwritten lyrics.
See, that would interest me.
Yeah. B.B. King has handwritten signed lyric sheets. Jerry Lee Lewis's driver's license. There's some pretty cool stuff, man. And I'm not even all the way through it. One of James Brown's leisure suits. I mean, there's some wild thing. Dean Martin's 14-karat gold money clip. Frank Sinatra's cigarette box. I don't know what you do with these things. But
cigarettes in it, I guess.
I guess so, but people want them. The Otis Redding album that Jimi Hendrix owned. So you'd be buying basically Jimi Hendrix's used Otis Redding albums.
Yeah.
There's also recordings, like tape recordings of Jimi Hendrix practicing, which I guess would be pretty cool. I mean, there's a bunch of crazy... There's what's Michael Jackson's ranch called? The Neverland Ranch.
Neverland. I thought it was a little kid. I don't remember what it was.
They have a bunch of I guess there was a bunch of like life-size Cowboys and Indians, and they're all for sale. I mean, again, I don't know who's buying this stuff, but there's somebody who's buying it. And I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating. Not only do I think the stuff is really cool, I find it fascinating to see what people will pay for this stuff. That's what's interesting to me. Freddie Mercury worn tuxedo shirt. Current bid, $1,300.
That seems pretty low for that, too.
But what, like, if let's
but
say.
But you're just starting, so yeah.
I was going to say, let's say you got that. What would you do with it?
Frame it.
You know those, the Invisible Man video, the sunglasses that Freddie Mercury wore that are like, they look like Max Headroom glasses. They're green on the top and bottom, and then there's just like, those are available. Current bid, $3,300.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I think that stuff is kind of cool. Rolling Stones autographed guitar, currently at $2,500. That to me seems like a deal, and that's something that like, maybe you could, I mean, you could put that on the wall or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a nerd about this kind of stuff,
no,
but I find it interesting.
Some of that stuff is really cool.
Kirk Hammett's Telecaster. Current bid, $3,250.
See, I'd be in on that.
Yeah, it seems good.
Yeah.
But then there's weird stuff. Steven Tyler's insurance card from United Healthcare.
Who cares?
$100. What are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, take it in, say, hey, I'm on his plan?
Yeah, I mean.
Is that what you do?
Either way, somebody's paying for it. Yeah. The Platinum Record Award that Nirvana got for Nevermind, current bid, $2,000. That actually seems like a good deal. Here's one, and oh my gosh. Oh, well, this one's kind of weird. Kurt Cobain lock of hair. Current bid, what's your guess?
I have never understood why people want other folks' locks of hair.
I don't get it either, but what do you think the current bid is?
That's probably like $100.
Current bid, $4,000. No, $5,000
for a
lock of hair.
That's a dumb person that doesn't deserve to have $5,000.
How about the cardigan that Kurt Cobain wore on the MTV Unplugged shoot?
Well, that's got to be worth more than hair, doesn't it?
It is worth more than hair.
Okay, good. I'll say $10,000.
$27,500 is the current bid.
That's crazy. So a Telecaster's $3,000, and that's, wow. Okay.
Yep. How about a Slash stage played Les Paul guitar?
That I would like to have.
$10,000, it's yours.
That's very reasonable, actually.
It does seem kind of reasonable.
Because I honestly, Les Paul's now not even played by Slash. Or if they're from that era, they're going for $5,000-$6,000.
You know what? You can buy the vampire teeth mold from the Thriller video for $750 right now.
No, thank
you. The mold that they made the teeth out of.
See, I don't find those things cool, but like the guitars,
yeah,
stuff like that, I'm real interested in.
Some of this stuff is cool. Some of it, I don't know what people like. The lock of hair, I don't know what you're doing paying $5,000 for somebody, some dead guy's hair.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Unless you're planning on taking the DNA out of it and cloning him.
Yeah.
And then you can probably afford $5,000 for something like that.
Yeah.
And if you're going to clone him, okay.
John Lennon handwritten postcard. What's your guess?
See, that's just a postcard, though, huh? If a hair is going for that much, it's got to be $25,000, right?
$25,000. No, $2,500.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow.
Here's one. John Lennon lock of hair and inscribed card.
God.
So Kurt Cobain's hair, $5,000. What's your guess on John Lennon's hair?
It's got to be twice that, right?
$10,000. Yeah. Current bid.
The only hair I would buy would be like if you gave me Natalie Portman's hair from when they shaved her head for V for Vendetta. I'd give you $20 for that.
Ringo Starr played drumsticks. What do you think?
$3,000.
Right on the dot. Did you search those drumsticks?
No, I did not. I'm good at this.
How about a baseball signed by all four Beatles?
Ooh. Not really related to the music industry,
nope.
So probably not as valuable as some of the other things, but that's still kind of cool. I'll go $5,000.
$40,000.
Are you kidding? Wow, that's kind of silly.
$40,000.
Man.
How about,
you never know what people are going to fall in love with, though.
How about John Lennon's prescription glasses?
$6,000.
$10,000. I mean, it's just crazy what this stuff goes for. I find it fascinating.
So who's selling all this stuff?
Julian's Live, the Julian's Auction. I don't know who owned all this stuff, but it's...
So what do you, if you've got hair and you're donating it to an auction, is that, how does that work? Hey, I've got hair.
I don't know that it's donated. I think what it is like they take a percentage of it.
Mm.
So there's a bunch of autographed John Lennon stuff. John Lennon signed document dated the day of his death. What's your guess?
Ooh. It's just a document?
It's a random
the
document.
The day he died?
Has nothing to do with him dying.
Know. I wouldn't.
It's a proxy form for annual general meetings held in 1980, signed in black pen by John Lennon on the day of his death. The document appoints Neil Stanley Aspinall to vote in Lennon's name at the Apple Limited Company meeting.
That's almost worthless.
$25,000,
yeah,
bro.
Golly.
$25,000.
Really? How much time do you think he spent signing that?
I have no idea.
Because he didn't know he was going to get shot.
I mean, this
probably just like, oh, here you go, boom.
Random stuff signed by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like, this is an invoice for Ringo Starr. Like, Ringo Starr owed some money, and he signed it to say that it was for furniture. That's $250. Like, his furniture
invoice. And that's
Ringo.
Ringo Starr.
Like, the least of the Beatles.
$250.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that. I know we've got sports and stuff to talk about, but I found that fascinating.
We started with stuff. That's fine. I thought it was fascinating as well. We'll get to that game last night, and we'll get to the Rockets and all the other stuff. We got plenty of time. We got 3 hours. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
It's our show.
You know, I wanted to I want to delve into some Texan stuff today, because I feel like fans are now taking the lazy approach to what's wrong with the Texans, and I want to delve into why they're wrong.
Okay. I'm down with that. I kind of think I know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. So, we'll talk about that. I also, there were two things that happened last night, one at the end of that game and one after the game, that I have to go off on.
Okay.
It was two of the dumbest things that I've heard, and one involved Andrew Luck, and one involved the Texans.
All right.
So we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, guys, I got to tell you about my good friends at Houston Can Academy. And you've heard me talk about them, but it's very simple. All you have to do is donate that vehicle you're not using, and you're going to do a lot of good, because that's what they do at Houston Can Academies. When kids drop out of school, they don't have options, but they do if they go to Houston Can Academy. They work with kids who are at risk, who've had to quit school because maybe they had to get a job to support their family. There's all kinds of reasons this happens. They get these kids, they get them back in school, they get them back on track, they work around their schedules, and they change lives every day. And that makes us all better. And you can help change one of those lives. And you know that old saying, you change one life, you're really changing 1,000. Well, they're changing thousands every day, and you can help. Just donate that vehicle that you're not using. If it's sitting in your yard and you've been trying to figure out what to do with it, maybe you were going to fix it, and maybe you just were going to you were going to do a project with it. Well, you know what? You haven't gotten around to it. So give them a call. Donate the vehicle. They do all kinds of stuff with this money from the vehicles. They get glasses if kids need them. They get transportation to the school for them if they need that. They provide, if they're hungry, they even give them meals. That's how you're helping. So if you want to help a kid, very simple. Get rid of that vehicle in your yard. Donate it. It's totally tax deductible. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to receive a $50 Visa gift card. It's just their way of saying thank you. Very simple. Call them right now, 713-225-4226, or go online, HoustonCarsForKids.com. That's 713-225-4226. You don't have to do anything. No matter where you are, no matter where you can hear my voice, they will come and tow the vehicle for free. They'll take care of the paperwork, and it's all tax deductible. Remember, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And it is a local music Tuesday, so all the bumper music you hear today will be local bands right here from Houston, a couple from Beaumont. John will be tweeting out the names of the songs and the bands, and I've got some new stuff to throw them that we'll have next week. But lots of great stuff. Love to support the local musicians, and yeah. That's what we do on Tuesdays, Tuesday. Mike P. asked on Twitter, should the Texans have tried to trade for offensive linemen before today's deadline like Joe Thomas?
They wanted two first-round picks for Joe Thomas.
Yeah, I don't think the Browns were really serious about trading Joe Thomas.
So they asked for the moon.
Yeah.
And if someone would have given him two first-round picks, they would have traded him, but no one's doing that. Even though Joe Thomas is fantastic, that just goes to show you, and I don't know if it's smart that teams value these draft picks so highly that they covet them like they do.
I'll take bird in the hand.
I mean, to me, yeah. Joe Thomas, I can't think of, you know, when's the last time the Texans took, I mean, outside of J.J. Watt, have they taken two first-rounders in the last 10 years that you wouldn't put together and trade for Joe Thomas?
So, Dwayne Brown and Whitney Mercilus, for instance.
I would take Joe Thomas.
I would, too.
I mean,
Kevin Johnson and, I mean, I'm trying to think of the best ones. Kevin Johnson and Brian Cushing.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, you're talking about, is he he's the best left tackle in football, right?
Yeah, and he's young enough that you're going to have him for a while. Yeah. So, but I don't think, I mean, I think that's what they basically did was, the problem with the NFL trade deadline, it's the tropical storm Bill of the news cycle.
Yeah.
Everybody goes nuts about it and then nothing happens. And it's the same thing every year, which is why we didn't deal with it much yesterday. And we didn't get into all the trades that should happen that ESPN was writing about to try to drum up interest in something that just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So, at no point did I expect there to be any major deals. And I guess the Vernon Davis deal winds up being your biggest, right?
Yeah.
And apparently...
Not surprising.
Yeah, the Broncos were apparently in on the Joe Thomas deal.
They were trying to move around a bunch of, like, make cap room.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me, but it makes sense.
And if I'm the Broncos, yeah, I'd give two first-round picks.
Of course, because the Broncos are playing for now.
And you got to think that those picks are going to be near the end of the round.
Yeah.
But... No, it's one of those things that people really, I don't know, they get excited about it, but nothing ever happens.
Yep.
It's like the girl you go out with five or six times, and you think every night's a night, and nothing ever happens, and finally you just dump her.
You're so shallow, Fred.
I know I'm shallow. I don't make any bones about
love?
That love. Dude, I'm too old for love.
Oh, well. People were asking me over and over and over, you know, about quarterback availability and what can the Texans do to fix quarterback. Are we still looking at the Texans and thinking that quarterback is the biggest or the only issue somehow?
Apparently so.
Like, can't we agree that Brian Hoyer he's playing all right? I mean, he's not like I'm not saying he's a great quarterback. He's not a huge plus for this team, but he's kind of far down the list of real problems, isn't he?
The way he's playing, if you had a good team, you'd be fine.
Yeah. 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions this year.
You'll take that.
That's pretty good.
His total QBR is top 10, and I know everybody wants to focus on that.
That's because it's the easy, lazy thing to do.
It is the easy, lazy thing to do. The real problem with this team has been the defense this year.
Well, it's the defense. It's the fact they can't run the ball. The offensive line is bad.
They can't run the ball because of the offensive line.
There's a lot of problems. Brian Hoyer is not the worst of them, not even close to the worst of them. And I'm always in the camp that if you don't have a real quarterback, you can't win. But Brian Hoyer's been, I think this guy has been way better than anyone could have asked for, especially considering the guy got benched at one point. I mean, he's just kind of been on a yo-yo. To me, the guy is doing all right. You know, he's not going to win you games by himself because he's not that kind of a player. But he hasn't been total crap either.
No, I don't think that's the real issue. I think the real issue has been you built a defense that was supposed to carry your team.
Yeah.
And they haven't. They've been awful.
Your second, the safeties. Remember safety was supposed to be like a big strength for this team? What a nightmare.
Yeah.
What a nightmare that's been. I mean... There's really just, and this is nothing new, there's no depth at linebacker. So when guys are hurt, which inevitably they get hurt, especially when you got guys like Clowney who seem to be hurt all the time, there's no one to replace them. They were talking about trading Brian Cushing, although it would have been hard to find a team who could take on his his cap money and, you know, give you anything back. I guess the Raiders were in the conversation because the Raiders still have a ton of cap room. But Brian Cushing also leads this team in tackles. You know, there's just not a lot of positives you can find on that. I mean, aside from J.J. Watt, obviously 99's fantastic every game, every year. That guy is above whatever we're talking about here. But who else on that team, you know, while it's easy to say quarterback, who else on that team besides J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins would you say has exceeded expectations for this season?
Well, over the last few weeks, I'd say Whitney Mercilus probably has, but that's not for the whole season.
He had a good game.
Yeah, I would say maybe Kevin Johnson's exceeded expectations.
See, I think he had a good game too.
I think he's been okay all year, and he's a rookie, so maybe. But no, I can't say that anybody else has. And when you look at it entirely,
you remember when people were trying to convince us that Brandon Brooks was going to be like this perennial Pro Bowl guy?
Guy was coming off a really good year. I would expect him to at least do that again.
He's a trash can.
He has been bad. That whole offensive line really has not been good. And I blame part of it on the coaching change. I blame part of it on the fact that they move guys around so much. You've got Derek Newton going from right tackle to right guard when he's at his best at right tackle. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. And I know they've had some injuries, but that's not an excuse. I mean, that was a good offensive line at the end of the season last year. Wasn't top 10, but it damn sure was probably around 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
You should be able to win with that. They're not that right now. And 2.5 yards per carry. And it wasn't just Arian Foster, because Arian Foster wasn't able to get any yards either. So it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it's a poor scheme. It's poor coaching. It's bad play calling, and an offensive line that's playing really poorly. Obviously, you'd love to have a better quarterback than Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
But they've got other issues. And you know, it's weird to talk about them when they're coming off a victory, but the truth is, what we saw Sunday is what they have to do to win. They have to play phenomenal defense. They have to force turnovers, because offensively, we know they're anemic. They're not good on offense, and what you want them to do is just not turn the ball over. And that's what happened. You'd like for them to be able to run the ball and not turn the ball over, and then you'll probably win some football games if your defense is doing that. And that hasn't been consistent all year. And when they play the Bengals, you're not going to get that kind of pressure on Andy Dalton, because the Bengals have a terrific offensive line. The Titans don't. It's going to be harder. Right. Now, if you do, great.
A couple of tweets. Sorry, Lil B says, how many of Hoyer's touchdowns been in garbage time, though? Well, the only three games that Hoyer's played in that there wasn't really garbage time going on, the Tennessee and Jacksonville games, which they won, and you could argue the Colts game was, you know, at least at one point competitive.
Right.
So those are the three games. The Kansas City game, there was garbage time. Falcons game, garbage time. Dolphins game, garbage time. So the three division games, basically, they went 2-1 in. He threw 7 touchdowns, 1 interception in those three games. I mean, those are meaningful touchdowns. And I'm not saying that the Texans all of a sudden should feel like, oh, we're set at quarterback.
We've got our guy. No.
Because Brian Hoyer's not that kind of a player. Brian Hoyer's a guy that... He's what you call a transition quarterback. He'll get you through until you find a real guy. The problem is Ryan Fitzpatrick is a transition quarterback.
Right.
And it's sort of a longer transition than what they thought from when they figured out Matt Schaub is not a quarterback, or not a starting, or at least a franchise quarterback, till, you know, whenever they get their next one. It's been longer of a transition period than you expected. They still need a quarterback, but I'm saying if pick an upper to middle tier guy, you let's say you put Matt Ryan on this team, you're not getting much different results. You know, Ryan's the guy the Falcons feel comfortable with as their franchise quarterback. But if Matt Ryan was playing on this team, they wouldn't be 5-2 or 6-2. And it wouldn't work that way. Quarterback isn't going to fix this thing by itself. Not unless Aaron Rodgers comes here, and that ain't happening. Or Tom Brady.
Right. The problem is, this would be a perfect situation if you had a guy that you knew was going to be your long-term franchise quarterback who was coming in and learning from Brian Hoyer and watching Brian Hoyer play. You would be effective enough, and I don't know. I don't want to throw any names out there like Teddy Bridgewater or Derek Carr. But if you had a guy like that, then this is fine.
Well, the problem is those guys are better than Brian Hoyer now.
They are.
Like, they're already past it. They would have been good to sit behind a guy like that last year, they're better than him now. But if you had a rookie that you were grooming, like that you thought, oh, maybe this could be the guy.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I heard today was the first day that I heard any of the morning show. What's that show called? The 9 to 10 show.
Reality Check?
With the Barry Warner, Dylan Gwynn show. Dylan Gwynn said he's super disappointed in Ryan Mallett because he thought Ryan Mallett could be a franchise-changing quarterback. Like,
well, he did change the franchise. He took him from being bad to worse. Technically, he's right.
I don't know what he saw in Ryan Mallett ever that made him think that was going to be the case. But, no, there hasn't been a franchise-changing quarterback walk through that door yet, or even a guy who has the potential to be. And I don't know when it's coming, but it's obviously an issue. But right now, the reason that they're 3-5 isn't because of quarterback. There's a lot of stuff that's going into that.
All right, guys, let me tell you about FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football. The money's real. They're going to pay out $2 billion this year. It's easy to build a team, and a lot of you guys are playing. You know what to do. You go, you stand to the salary cap. You can play for as little as a dollar. If you want to play for a lot more than that, you can do it. And if you want to play our league, it's very simple, $5. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Fowler. FanDuel.com/Fowler. And the Blitzers have been winning a lot of money on this thing, and you guys have been beating me like a drum on it. So here's your chance. Prove you're better than me. Most of you are. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com/Fowler and get signed up. $5, and you can play with the rest of the Blitzers. Never too late to join. If you're already on FanDuel, that's your link. If you're not on FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Fowler, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code FOUR today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. And I want to thank Jonathan Stewart for not getting me the 8 points I needed last night to get me in the money. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com. Sign up today.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys, Eagles, NFL, 7 p.m. Sunday. Presented by All-American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
You know, he's doing, yes, he's playing the way we envisioned him playing. You know, he made some really nice throws yesterday. He made some, that was a great touchdown throw to Nate Washington. Great throw to Hopkins for his touchdown. Made some good underneath throws. There's some things that he can improve upon. You know, some of the things that we're doing at the line of scrimmage, we can all, coaching-wise and playing-wise, we can get better at. He's part of that. But, yes, he's played the way we've asked him to play. And, you know, when he doesn't turn the ball over, like you just mentioned, you know, that's a good thing for our football team. That's good for any team. When the quarterback doesn't turn it over, that usually means that you got a really good chance to win. And that's what he's done. He's taken care of the ball, and that's a good thing.
And we are back on the Blitz, 713-780 ESPN. Bill O'Brien praising his guy. Like, nobody's saying he's great or he's the answer, but he's not really the problem right now.
Right.
And even in the Miami game where he wasn't on early, he's getting a lot of drops. And that interception, that wasn't on him. That was on C.J. Fedorowicz. So, yeah, you can win enough games with this guy. But yeah, you have to get elite defensive.
Remember,
defensive
all turnovers aren't created equal.
No.
You know, like I saw on Twitter last night the first drive, and Andrew Luck's credited with a fumble. And don't get me wrong, there were a couple turnovers last night that were definitely on Andrew Luck. But people on Twitter, turnover machine after the Andrew Luck fumble. That's a quote finger Andrew Luck fumble where the backup center slid the ball between his legs.
That was not on him.
But at the end of the year, that you're going to see that stat, and you're going to say, oh, well, he turned the ball over there.
I want to address this because this is one of two things that really just got to me last night. Neither Luck or Newton was very good in the first half, but
no.
Who would have been in those conditions?
It's very difficult.
And you look at both of them, almost had the exact same stat line, like 3-for-13 in the first half. At one point, I was telling people who were watching the game, stop throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And even if you run the ball, it's hard to hold on to it. I mean, it was obviously a mess. It got better in the second half. But I had to do something last night I've never done before. I had to mute Gruden and Tirico.
Oh, why?
In the fourth, well, I was late in the fourth quarter in overtime. And Gruden was so ridiculous talking about it. It was clear he was rooting for Andrew Luck so hard that it wasn't funny. And it just got so damn annoying, I finally had to mute him.
Well, I do think he was rooting for him in the second half because he was rooting for the comeback.
Well, but
which
once,
makes sense because that game otherwise, who's watching it? At halftime, it was almost looking like, oh, boy. You know,
I was watching it because he kept going, he said, have you ever seen anything like this? Yeah, John, I saw it last week when they played the Saints. I've seen him do it throughout his career. He's had a lot of games where he's been crap for three quarters and he's terrific in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop acting like this never happens. And I know you're pushing it for TV, but the sound of disgust. And after I muted it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait 2 minutes and I'm going to go back. And even Tirico started getting caught up in it. And, you know, I think he's the best and I love listening to him.
Although last night he said, you know, the Panthers deal with a lot of this rain in the NFC South. And I was like, wait a minute. Atlanta plays indoors. New Orleans plays indoors. Isn't Florida the Sunshine State? What is he talking about? But what do I
know? Yeah. And when they started going off, though, on how rare this was and what a great comeback and all this, like, it's like, yeah, it's the best comeback he's had since last week against the Saints when they almost won that one, too.
Yeah.
But the sound of disgust on Gruden's voice when Luck threw that interception in overtime.
Yeah.
It's like, unbelievable. It's like, really? Have you not watched the guy?
Yeah.
It was very believable.
Well, it was a little bit of a surprise at the time because it looked like all of a sudden he'd turn into good luck. And then he just throws another dumb ball.
I mean, 37 times I counted, they told us that the Panthers' defensive line is tired.
Yep.
37 times.
We get it.
There's probably four or five times I missed during the mute thing.
You also may have not noticed during the broadcast that Greg Olsen has played in every snap.
Yeah. Yes.
In case you weren't sure of that.
So
Greg Olsen has played every snap this year.
And it really was the first time that it bothered me to the point that I had to mute it, which is what I always tell people. All right, if you don't like what we're talking about, flip the channel.
Yeah.
So I wanted to watch the game, but I didn't want to hear that. And then after the game. Okay, so before you think it's like, you just wanted them to win. You wanted the Panthers to win. Not really. The only thing I actually threw a few bucks on the Colts last night when the number bumped right before the start of the game. But this is the worst. And I like Mark Vandermeer a lot. I think he does a great, great job as the play-by-play guy.
Oh, you saw his tweet?
He's a terrific guy. He is. But I cannot believe a grown man would tweet out rock and roll because the Texans are tied for the lead at 3-5, and the Colts lost.
Rock and roll!
And I could not believe that. And I love the guy.
I've never interacted with him.
He's a great, great dude. I like him a lot. I can't say a bad word about him. But I saw that, and I'm like, you have got to be bleeping kidding me. Really? Are you going to celebrate this? Are you guys really going to start acting like, oh, we're tied for the lead? Well, first off, technically you're not because you lost to the Colts heads up. So if the playoffs started today, if you want to play that game,
you'd be at home.
You'd be sitting at home and you wouldn't be in the wild card either. I'm going to have to tell you that. But are you really celebrating this? Oh, it's a whole new season. We're back to even.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that bothered me too. And listen.
And I have no love for the Colts. I'm glad to see him win.
Yeah,
I don't see him lose.
But just because the Colts suck doesn't mean that you suck any less. And there's nothing to be proud of about being first place in this division. No, there really isn't.
I can't believe you're celebrating that. You know what? And then I had a good conversation with Dustin about it later. Is it better for this team to miss the playoffs entirely with a winning? Would it be better for a team to miss the playoffs with a winning record than make it with a losing record? I still go with make it because, frankly, if you go 9-7, you start feeling like you're close. And maybe you don't make as many changes. But if you go 7-9 and get in the playoffs, there's no way you can feel like that's going to work again.
No, and not only that, you probably lose 7 or 8 spots in the draft.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of negatives that go into that.
Not like the way they draft, does it matter?
Well, that's true. But, the first-round picks, they usually don't crap
yeah, but
on
they, that. If they pick 22nd, they'll probably get somebody decent.
But when you really think about it, let's say the Texans do make the playoffs.
At 7-9.
I mean,
that's got to be the standard, right? We'll say 7-9.
Let's say they make it at 7-9.
Because I don't
somehow.
Think 6-10 gets it done.
So let's say they make it at 7-9. Do we really what are they going to do? We saw the Dolphins ate their heads, and the Dolphins played the Patriots the next week. The Dolphins aren't an elite team. They might not be a playoff team in the AFC. So if the Dolphins aren't even a playoff team and they're doing what they did to the Texans, what would a playoff team do to the Texans?
Well,
is it? I mean, what is like, the what like is the
turnovers?
Benefit?
It's like the turnovers. Not every playoff team is created equal. You probably get. I'm sure people said the same thing when the Seahawks went 7-9, and here come the 13-3 Saints.
Yeah.
So, you could win one game.
Okay, but are you going to win all the games?
No, you're not going
to
win all the games.
If you win one game, are you any closer to your goal?
No, but you know what? I'd still rather be in there and have an extra game. Get some experience for some of those guys because the draft pick difference is not that huge.
Well, there are people who are like,
but no,
being a playoff team will help with free agency. Free agents want to play for a playoff team.
Nobody's going to want to play for a 7-9 team.
Like free agent, do you really think these guys are like the dumbest guys ever? And they're like, oh, they're a playoff team. Let's do that.
You know where free agents go? They go where people pay them a bunch of money.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, they don't go to Green Bay either, but Green Bay doesn't need them.
No.
So who wants to live in Green Bay and play there?
Green Bay is the one team that figures out a way to find their own guys. Nobody else is doing that. All right, guys, if you're a little banged up or you've injured yourselves, you need to know about my friends over at the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. It's part of the UT Physicians Group. They've been recognized for their academic and medical achievements. The doctors there have developed reputations for being accomplished and progressive. They're dedicated to giving you the best orthopedic care possible, and they've developed systems to ensure the wait time to see a doctor is minimal. Nobody wants to sit around in that waiting room all day. They've got three easily accessible locations, Katy, Sugarland, and Richmond. They've all got free parking right out in front, and they've got 20 physicians that encompass a wide range of specialties, including orthopedic and musculoskeletal, sports medicine, pediatric orthopedics, spine, hand, wrist, and elbow, foot and ankle, and pain management. Give them a call today, 281-344-1715, or visit rbjc.com. You'll learn more about the doctors. You can schedule your appointment online, and a physician referral may not be necessary depending on your insurance. Give us a call to find out, 281-344-1715. For the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. So let us enjoy it, man. Okay. If you're enjoying 3-5, all right.
Let us enjoy it.
Okay. You know what? That whatever makes you happy, man.
Well,
I mean, honestly, I always say whatever you take joy in, that's fine. If you're stoked about being 3-5 and tied for first, okay. If you wind up winning the division at 6-10, okay. If that makes you happy, I'd rather see it than not see it. I mean, if somebody's going to win it at 6-10, it might as well be the local team, right? But I mean, seriously, tweeting
it's
out.
It's just hard to take joy in it. I mean, it's hard to take joy when something that you want to do well is clearly not good. I mean, and someone said on Twitter, we're clearly not Texans fans. It's not our job to pretend like this is something it's not. It's Mark Vandermeer's job to pretend this is something it's not.
Absolutely. So, I think even that's over the top. To celebrate that like you just won a football game. It's like, oh my God, we're tied for first. And like I said, I love Vandy, but
I'm not going to be like, oh, this team is, maybe they're not that bad because they're in first place. No, they're bad. I have eyeballs that have seen what they're doing.
You know what will make me say maybe they're not as bad as I thought? If they can go in and beat Cincinnati. Beat a team with a winning record, which guess what they've done? How many times this year? Zero times this year? Yeah. Beat a team with a winning record and got blown out by the Dolphins. I mean, it's just.
You know what would impress me?
They got blown out by the Dolphins.
You know what would tell me that they deserve to be in the playoffs? Is this if they actually beat the Colts.
Well, and that's the thing. If they had beaten the Colts at home without Andrew Luck. Yeah, I would say, you know what? And they'd be a game ahead right now. It's okay.
They'd be 4-4, yeah. And yeah, I'd be
you're
like,
sucking, oh. But okay.
But no, this doesn't feel good.
No, I mean, I'm not taking any joy in that.
All right.
Well.
We got plenty to we'll talk about the Texans more later, obviously. We got a lot to talk about. Next segment, I guess we're going to do our college football rankings.
We are.
We have to put them out at 5 o'clock because the actual rankings come out at 6.
Yeah. Now, are we gonna play some of that on the air? Like,
yeah, I was planning to. Awesome. I was gonna come in and talk to you guys. I hope they keep it the same way as last year, so we can kind of time it.
Yeah, what we did last year, for those of you who are new to the show, and there's clearly a bunch of you judging from the text, we'll break into the ESPN coverage so you can hear the actual rankings.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and talk about them. It's like, this guy, do y'all not care about Houston sports? Let's get this radio station going in the right direction. Gig them. Dear sir, we're doing okay. You know, Greg says, I just think you can't knock a fan of the Texans for being happy they still have a shot halfway through the season.
Have a shot at what? That's what I'm asking. What do they have a shot at?
They have a shot of getting a home playoff game. So you got one more tailgate.
If that's what you're aiming for, okay.
But that,
when the team is like this, making the playoffs when you're 6-10 or 7-9 doesn't get you any closer to the end goal, which is actually building a good franchise. And you know what getting to the playoffs would do? It'd save jobs of guys whose jobs don't deserve saving. That's what it would do. And that, to me, that's the worst thing that can happen, is this team makes the playoffs and they go, you know what? Made the playoffs. Seems silly to fire anybody now, because this team doesn't like to fire people when they're not making the playoffs. You know they don't want to fire anybody when they made the playoffs. That'd be crazy.
No, but I just think it gets back to expectations. Houston fans have had such low expectations of their franchise. They eat this garbage. Boy, I almost said a word I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
That the Texans feed down their throat year after year. And, you know, okay, great. Yeah, you're 3-5. Congratulations. But if you think this team is going in the right direction and that it's all good. And Lance says, Texans fan here, want him to lose for picks and management changes. Don't be that fan either. I don't think you should be that guy either. To me, the in-between is, all right, you know what? If you're going to have a crap season and go 7-9, if you win the division, okay. You know, it's Carolina went 7-8-1 and won a playoff game last year. Maybe you win a home playoff game. You're not really a Super Bowl contender, but hopefully you look at it and say, okay, we've got some serious issues with some of our coaching staff. We've got some serious issues, you know, on the offensive line. We have to fix these things. They didn't do that last year. They went 9-5. And said, or 9-7, and said, you know what? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
After 2-14, we'll take 9-7. And, we'll get Brian Hoyer instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think it's you want to be excited that there's still something to play for. That's fine. That's great. But, man, don't act like that's an accomplishment. That's all.
I just don't know. I don't know that apathy is the way to go. Like, just not care what happens.
No.
But, I mean, it's nothing you should be puffing your chest out about.
That was the thing. Twitter exploding with Texans tied for first, and we're so excited that the Colts lost. It's like, all right, you know what? Great, be excited, but my goodness. I just think you're kind of ignoring the fact that this team has so many issues and so many problems, and they're not dealing with them. And maybe they get them fixed. But it's really hard for me to look at a game against the Titans, who, by the way, fired their coach.
Yeah, and you know what? I am often on the team of you can't fire a guy after 2 years. But I'm also, in this case, I can't argue against it.
Three wins and 20 losses.
I mean, it's hard to say he deserves any more time, right?
Yeah. You saw that crap show.
I mean, this
Sunday.
Isn't... To me, this isn't as bad as what Bill O'Brien's done. I mean, it's worse than what Bill O'Brien's doing.
Oh, it's considerably worse. I mean, that team has no hope.
Yeah.
And what you at least want to do with the Titans is figure out a way to use Marcus Mariota better and try to develop him. And that clearly wasn't happening. And defensively, they've got a defense that can play in the NFL. Their offense is just terrible, and they make too many mistakes, and their offensive line is worse than the Texans.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Greg says, I just hate watching meaningless games. I know the team's not good, but the Colts aren't either. Yeah, I have a different, I guess I'd rather watch meaningful games than sit through 2-14 again. But I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that they're going to win this division. There's nothing about, I know that if you're just looking at, okay, the Colts have the Broncos and the Falcons next. Well, you know what? I think the Colts are probably capable of beating one of those teams.
Right.
I can't say that about the Texans. I don't, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope they go into Cincinnati and win so I can say, you know what? I was wrong about that. Well done. But,
you know, and here's something. This is from T. Harris. How did the Seahawks run start? They started from that 7-9 season. if you don't think that the Seahawks and the Texans have gone about building things in completely different ways, you're out of your mind. Even in that 7-9 season, you saw that they were building an elite defense. They were on their way to something. The Texans have one of the worst defenses in football.
And they were
they've got no offensive line.
That's not fair because they were trying to build it the same way. They're trying to build with an elite defense.
It's just not elite.
No. And the other thing that the Seahawks did was they built a very strong offensive line, which the Texans don't have, and drafting guys like Russell Okung and building that way. And we talked about this yesterday. I think maybe trading Unger was a mistake for Graham in retrospect. Anyway.
Well, and at this point, I mean, you can also say that 7-9 Seahawks team had Marshawn Lynch, and that's actually how they ended up beating the Saints, was with a heavy dose of Marshawn Lynch. You're gonna make the playoffs and then beat is Alfred Blue gonna go beat a team in the playoffs? Like, you're gonna throw the load on his shoulders and say, Alfred, take us to the promised land.
If you find him a couple of offensive linemen between now and then, he might be able to do something. But I mean, none of these guys are special.
None of them are Marshawn Lynch. But is my point.
Well, but you know what? At least the guy had an offensive line. There's nothing here to block. I mean, you can't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The 7-9 Seahawks, you're saying, man, they're putting some stuff in place. This team's on their way to something. If the Texans even make 6-10, 7-9, you can't look at that and go, you know what? The Texans really look like they're building themselves into something here.
Not unless we see a completely different team in the second half than what we've seen in the first half. And I don't know what would indicate that, unless you come off the bye and upset Cincinnati and play the same kind of defense you did against Tennessee. And then I'll say, you know what? Might be headed the right direction.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
All right, guys. Fantasy football, we're in full swing. And if you haven't downloaded this app yet that I've been telling you about, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're probably losing in your fantasy leagues. It's Sports Manias. Go to the App Store. The app is free. Search for Sports Manias, one word, and it'll give you a leg up on your competition. You import your fantasy team from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN. You'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts around the country, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, milestones. You'll even get alerts every time your players are in the red zone. Real-time updates on your players and just your players, so you're not sifting through everybody else's nonsense. And it's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this thing all season long to help me with my leagues. Keeps all my leagues in order because I'm on three different formats, so it's a real help for me. Sports Mania's brand-new fantasy tool gives you an edge to help dominate your league. Get on your cell phone or tablet, go to the App Store, and download Sports Mania's for free. Right now, that's one word, Sports Manias. From the bottom of my American heart, I pray you make it home. When your back's against the wall out there, just know you're not alone. This is The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.